senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection. The erection. The erection.
So, have a good life. We will see you soon.
For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
And we'll lead, not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
Strike and 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 strike.
I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Good and happy Friday, everybody. Crab Diving Live, streaming right at you from Pensacola, Florida, the Redneck Riviera, USA. Holy crap, it's a beautiful day here on the panhandle, or in the panhandle. We're kind of both, and sunny and 70s. Apologies if the weather's shit where you are, but right here we're on kind of that cusp between kind of dampy, cold, nasty, wintry shit, and the ball-droppingly searing hot summer months of mosquitoes the size of cats flying around, sucking the blood out of wherever they can hit you. It is our pleasure, my pleasure today, to be doing the podcast solo, sadly, actually, because Ryan is off on assignment. He's going undercover. Not really. I feel like we're undercover here. He's up in Chicago, which is a wonderful blue state, my home state, my hometown, actually, Chicago. He's got some work-related stuff up there, so we wish him well and a safe trip back. He should be back maybe Monday. I'm not sure about that, but definitely by next Wednesday, you'll be able to hear the mellifluous tones of Ryan Pfeiffer alongside my pontifications here on this show. I'm going to deploy the Kong toy for the dog who's barking at my ass right now. And thanks for buying shit through the Amazon link at crabdiving.com/Amazon. If you use that link every time you go to buy some shit at Amazon, we get a little commission, and it doesn't cost you anything. Just helps us out here with some Bezos money. Keep an eye. We're still on the X. Why not get some funny shit off of there still? I'm just looking at some of the headlines over there on X. You can tweet us during the show or X us during the show. And that's about it. Let's see what's going on. It's Faithless Friday, by the way, also, everybody. We tend to, it's changed over the years. It used to be that the Friday show, I would actually save all of the crazy religious kook stories for that day. But things have changed so much in the decade plus that we've been doing the show that now it's like Faithless every day because these Christian nationalists have done gone nuts and are trying to take over the country. And a couple of them firmly ensconced on the SCOTUS. So we'll have a few stories about some of the Bible wielders. And let's see what's going on in the old headlines over at the Commie Pinko Liberal Elite. Not an elite. We are... after all, they call us elite liberals, right? Like the Republicans are trying to pretend they're the party of the people, and Trump is a man of the people. Ridiculous. Headline at the HuffPo, it says kaboom, jobs report sensation. The America's employers delivered another outpouring of jobs in March, adding a sizzling 303,000 workers to their payrolls, bolstering hopes that the economy can vanquish inflation without succumbing to a recession in the face of high interest rates. The report from the Labor Department also showed that the unemployment rate dipped from 3.9 to 3.8. The jobless rate now has come in below 4% for 26 straight months, the largest such streak since the 1960s. But wages, again, are kind of the main problem I have been proclaiming for a way long time. It says, normally a blockbuster bounty of new jobs would fan worries that a vibrant labor market would force companies to sharply raise pay to attract and keep workers, thereby fanning inflation pressure. But the March jobs report showed wage growth was mild last month, which might allay any such fears. Average hourly wages were up 4.1% from a year earlier, the smallest year-over-year increase since mid-2021. I don't know that that's really good, because we should also probably take a look at corporate profits, which have been doing like really, really well. And remember, all those corporations that squealed and yelled during the pandemic ended up with record profits, many of them. And used it to consolidate some of their increasing, you know, we've got laws supposedly pretending to prevent us from having any kind of monopoly or anything like that. But tell me, how much competition is a duopoly or a triopoly or even four or five when they can all just basically decide to set prices? Well, they can't collude on prices, wink, wink, wink. They can't call each other and say, hey, you know, let's raise the prices a little bit. But all one of them has to do is raise a little bit. And if people pay for it, the other ones are like, well, let's do that too. And nothing, of course, trickles down to the workers or to cutting prices. Like a lot of the pandemic prices that went up, much of it didn't go down. And we found out that much of the causes of the inflation during that period was corporate profits and corporate greed. Anyway, that's the headline. Over to the HuffPo. U.S. employers added a whole bunch of jobs. The job situation right now, pretty good here in this country, though we do obviously need a much higher minimum wage. I think something's going on in California, actually, where they're raising the minimum wage. Is it to $20 an hour, maybe, or something like that? Of course, some of the fast food places and some of the other industries are saying, well, we won't be able to do that. We won't be able to then be profitable. And I just think that's bollocks. I think it's crap. The when you look at the amount of profit, maybe you'll have a little less profit. That's what they're scared of. They're not scared of not actually losing money. They're scared that their huge, giant, ridiculous profits will somehow be cut by a little bit because they're actually paying their workers at the front line a living wage.
Hey, Joe.
Over to the Drudge Report. I saw this. There was an earthquake in New York. 4.8 mag quake rocks the state, the tri-state area. An earthquake centered between New York and Philadelphia shook skyscrapers and suburbs across the northeastern U.S. on Friday, causing no widespread damage, but startling millions of people in an area unaccustomed to tremors. The U.S. Geological Survey said over 42 million people might have felt the mid-morning quake with a preliminary magnitude of 4.8. I forget what the biggest one I felt in L.A. was that was really close. I think it was an upper threes when I was living in Los Angeles, but I did have like a 1.7 or something that was one of the biggest ones I felt because it was centered like a mile away from where I lived. It was very, very close to my apartment at the time. And it woke me up. It sounded like a truck hit the building, like a wham. And then that was it. And there was no like aftershocks or anything like that. Then to find out it was a 1.7. So I did hear that it was, I've heard some decidedly uncivil commentary on social media, you'll be surprised to learn, that said that it was not that far from Bedminster and that the epicenter was actually Ivana's grave, rising up maybe from the depths, full of gold bullion bars and top secret material, allegedly. Because again, why the big giant casket when she was cremated? I don't, it baffles us all. Everything okay, I guess. No major injuries or anything like that, fortunately, but it can be a scary event, especially when you're not used to, like in California, people shrug them off. But I can imagine being in California, or I mean in New York, and feeling a pretty big earthquake. So there you go. It says earthquakes with magnitudes near or above 5 struck New York City in 1737, 1783, and 1884. It says it also stirred memories of August 23rd, 2011 earthquake that jolted Georgia to Canada, centered in Virginia. That was a 5.8, which was the strongest earthquake to hit the East Coast since World War II. I don't think there are many of any places that are completely earthquake free, but obviously a lot of places that are unlikely. I think we're seeing, didn't we see a whole lot of man-made earthquakes with this fracking bullshit in areas of Oklahoma and Texas and shit like that, where they were actually having earthquakes where they didn't have them before that could be directly attributed to the fracking bullshit. Those are your headlines, everybody. This a beautiful Friday. I hope it's okay where you are. I've got a whole shit ton of stories to get to. So these motherfuckers in the House, the House of Representatives, and I know you're like, narrow it down, Pat, which motherfuckers, but the particular motherfuckers these days is this House Freedom Caucus. And the allegedly sane Republicans' inability to rein them in because they all still are trying to vie for a butt-licking room for Donald Trump, thinking that somehow, if their prayers are answered, he may actually win the election, dodge all these criminal investigations, civil investigations, and be put in as basically as king, because you see that 2025 project, that Heritage Foundation bullshit. They're one of those guys last week, I think we did the story, said that, the 22nd Amendment, I think it is, could be interpreted as two consecutive serving as president, two terms. Whereas, if it's interrupted, maybe you could do 4 and then miss 4 and then do 4 more and then miss 4 and then do 4 more. Or do 8 after the first 4 and skips is what they're thinking. So they're thinking that somehow they're going to keep Trump in by trying to fuck with the 22nd Amendment interpretation and hope that they can get it to a lunatic activist SCOTUS that would then say, well, you know, I think you're right. And given Alito and fucking Thomas, at the very least, I that's a possibility. They shouldn't even be hearing the immunity case. They should have just said, this is ridiculous. We agree with what the appellate court said. But by giving it credence to actually hear the patently bullshit argument that Trump is or presidents are somehow immune from everything is it just shows that they're an activist court, that many of them wanted to pick it up and listen to the bullshit. Chilling. So the House far right Freedom Caucus, the ironically named, is threatening now to derail any federal funding legislation to rebuild. Shelby is losing her mind. I think there's a dog out on the side of the house. The Freedom Caucus is threatening to derail any federal funding legislation to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore that was destroyed last week in that horrible accident. So, of course, they see any opportunity. It just shows the lack of ethics and spines that these GOP creatures have in Congress, that they see everything, every disaster is an opportunity for them to hold a gun to the baby's head, to what can we get out of it, to do the right thing and unite and say, well, of course, for the good of the country, the economy in that area, billions of dollars is going to be lost. It's already lost because of the shipping not being able to go through there. Millions of cars every year go over that bridge. And these guys are thinking, well, what are you going to give us if for us to vote for it? The pro-MAGA nationalist group chaired by U.S. Representative Bob Good of Virginia issued a statement demanding the insurance from foreign shipping companies should pay all the costs to rebuild before the federal government even considers appropriating any additional funds, rather than have the federal government being reimbursed by insurance, which experts say could delay the reconstruction for years given the expected lawsuits. So you can't just call up and say, hey, your insurance has to pay, and they go, oh, okay. They're going to say, the insurance company is going to say, no, we're not going to pay. We're not liable for this. And then it's going to go into litigation, which is going to take forever. Who's going to rebuild the fucking bridge in the meantime? John Mikluse, president of the American Institute of Marine Underwriters, so this is an insurance group, said litigation will run years. The claim has the potential to be worth north of $1 billion. The billion-dollar figure, by the way, doesn't include the cost to the U.S. economy, especially because of the bridge's impact on the Port of Baltimore. Brookings Institution says, on an annual basis, there are about 50 million tons of goods valued at about $80 billion that go to and from the port each year, and over 12 million vehicles a year use the bridge. The president, Biden, immediately after the deadly accident, vowed that the U.S. government would pay to rebuild the bridge. It's part of our infrastructure, our vital infrastructure, and kind of it's what we do. We should, that's part of being, one of the benefits of being in the club of the U.S. is that we all pool together, pool resources, and say, well, this is something we need to fix. But the House Freedom Caucus, in its, quote, official position on Francis Scott Key Bridge response, is no. They are insisting that the federal government get this. They are insisting that the federal government on this rebuilding project, they should rescind all environmental and labor protection laws. So that's it. I think we should, well, you know what? You should rescind that banning of slavery thing. Think of all the money we'd be able to save building that bridge with a bunch of slaves, which is basically what they want if they want to get rid of labor protection laws. And the environment. Fuck the environment. We got to get that bridge up. Typically, a Republican, evil, capitalist fuckwad bullshit. Not that capitalism is bad, but the way we practice it is evil. They're also demanding, the Freedom Loons are also demanding that the Biden administration the pause on approvals of liquefied natural gas export terminals must be lifted before Congress considers appropriating any funding for the bridge reconstruction. Meanwhile, all this, that has nothing to do with any. So that is obviously just, they're picking like I said, they're going to shoot the baby if we don't give them what they want. One of the Democrats in the House, Dutch Ruppersberger, represents parts of Baltimore, said the Freedom Caucus says it plans to hold key bridge rebuilding money hostage to ridiculous demands, including waiving environmental rules, labor agreements, and greenlighting LNG exports. Enough with the political games that will slow progress and keep Marylanders from getting back to work. It says Nicole Tardif, who has worked for several Republican members of Congress and several conservative organizations, blasted the House Freedom Caucus. So this is one of the rare, not completely 100% evil, bullshit, crazy Republicans. She said nothing screams Freedom Caucus more than politicizing a tragedy that cost people their lives, continues to disrupt countless Americans' livelihoods, and is wreaking havoc on supply chains. Closing out the statement with an irrelevant natural gas reference was a nice subhuman touch. Pound sand, she says. And I think that's how many of us feel. It'll be fascinating to see. I think, you know, most of these Freedom Caucus idiots are from safe districts. So it goes to show you the drift towards the pile of steaming, fetid turds that the Republican Party has become. By having these pure districts where people only get one message and they only vote one way. And these people keep playing to their fears, playing to their prejudices, and it just keeps distilling more and more crazy. Until you end up with a Bob Good, you end up with a fucking Gosar, you end up with Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, by the way, I have, she has an X or a tweet or whatever the fuck you call it these days, that is particularly nuts and stupid. I know it's hard for you to believe, but she said, oh, now she's got a reader's context added to it. She tweeted, this is a Republican member of Congress, everyone. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. Prayer hands emoji. Need anyone tell the representative from Georgia that eclipses were predicted, were able to predict when they would happen, I don't know, hundreds of years ago at this point, despite the people of God, the religionists, doing their best to try to beat the shit out of Copernicus and locking up Galileo for house arrest for the heresy of claiming that no, the earth isn't the center of the universe and the solar system, and that we actually revolve around the sun. Scientists were figuring out how to predict eclipses quite a while ago. So that's not news. So we can predict what the next one is. And if God's sending a message that way, then he's sending a really predictable message. It's spam. It's junk mail. So the second part of her ridiculous bullshit was the earthquakes, which over 30 of them happen a day across the world, at least. And most of them are too small to be felt, but earthquakes are everywhere. It's part of having a moving mantle underneath us. Earthquakes fucking happen. Volcanoes happen. You can chuck as many virgins as you want into the volcano. That's not going to stop it from spewing out its lava. Faithless Friday, you all. I've got a Jesus-esque story here for you. This is So they're still losing their minds over Biden having the declaration and celebrating the March 31st as Transgender Awareness Day or the Transgender Day of Visibility, which, by the way, I was reading about it. It started, some activists started it in 2005 or something like that, and it just became more and more popular and to the point where in 2021, Biden recognized it and has been ever since, but it's always been March 31st. And it just so happened to coincide with Christian Easter on Sunday. And they're losing their minds because how dare he declare Easter Sunday the Transgender Day of Visibility. This is, and just go to show you that the blood-sucking Christo leeches, the frauds that milk the giant fat dugs of the Christian right for every cent they can by ginning up outrage and saying only they can help, only God can help, and by the way, only you sending 15 to 20% of your money can help and buy Trump Bibles and shit. This is an example of just staying in the family bullshit business, because fake historian David Barton, who we've talked about many times on the show over the years, he's the one who literally had his own Christian version of a biography of Thomas Jefferson removed from the shelves everywhere. And it was taken off the shelves by his own Christian publishing company. Not that he owns, but the publishing company that was publishing his bullshit, because it was widely criticized and derided for all of its inaccuracies and outright lies, with him trying to claim that Thomas Jefferson was a big, giant, swinging Christian, loved him his Jesus, and wanted everyone to live Christian values and the Bible to be the basis of our government. And it's just the opposite. It's not true. I bet Thomas Jefferson was probably an atheist, but you couldn't ever say you were an atheist back in that day. I think they identified as deists, where they believed there was some God, but not necessarily the Christian God, blah, 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 blah. Which is the transition that a lot of atheists go through, depending on where you live and how open your family is and how religious they are and stuff. A lot of times, if you're raised in a religious family and then you get away from it and you're like, oh God, I really think this is just not, this is bullshit, and you become an atheist, then you'll frequently start telling people in your life that, well, I don't know if I necessarily believe, you know, in the Christian Bible or anything, but, you know, I believe maybe there's something out there, you know, maybe there's some force out there or something. And you get a lot of Star Wars religionists. They don't identify as that, but a lot of atheists do. The well, you know, maybe I believe there's some force out there, just as they're hiding the fact that they're pretty sure that there's nothing, there's no evidence of anything going on out there, I should say. So this is David Barton, that fraud Christo historian, faux historian, favorite of Mr. Glenn Beck. This guy was and is on, still, I think, on the Glenn Beck Show all the time. He was Glenn's go-to for Christian history. When, again, this guy has been caught just lying and fabricating things.
You've just raped Bill Cosby.
Exactly, Glenn Beck. Well, now his son, David Barton's son, Tim, is in the game. And he is also writing books, and he's a Christian, quote, historian. So here he is. He is outraged. Did I say outraged? He's outraged by the fact that the Biden administration recognized for the multiple years in a row, March 31st is Transgender Day of Visibility, even though it just so happened to fall on the Christian Easter.
But it does indicate that, as you're kind of indicating, the perverseness of the Biden administration, that they felt like they needed to highlight on Easter Sunday, right? Arguably the holiest day in Christendom, as far as like what is being remembered, what is being celebrated, like this.
Well, I don't think it's arguably. I think if you were a Christian, you were taught that that is like the big day. That's the resurrection day. That's the whole kit and caboodle of why Jesus is allegedly God. I mean, it is a pretty big day. Arguably, it's arguably the biggest day
in Christendom, as far as like what is being remembered, what is being celebrated, like this. This is the day, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. This is what Christianity is all about. And the Biden administration is saying, well, what we're going to focus on, instead of the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to focus on transgender and that movie.
To the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to focus on the transgender. By the way, wasn't there a fucking Easter egg hunt? Wasn't there the usual bullshit at the White House? And Biden is a big old Catholic. He went to Mass on Sunday, which is the most ponderous, painful Mass that you could go to for the Catholics. I was raised Catholic, 12 years Catholic school. I got better. And that was the longest, most painful. But also, I got talked into, was it an Easter vigil, was it called, or something like that? I didn't know what I was getting into. And this was long after my firmly rooted atheism. This was living in L.A. not all that crazy long ago. And a friend of mine was like, oh, do you want to go to the Easter vigil service on Sunday? It'll be great. It's this like a historic church and everything. I was like, all right. I'll go for the spectacle. I'll go to see what's going on. I'm not going to eat the cookie. But what the hell? I'll go just to have something to talk about on the show. Maybe. I think that might've been pre-show. But it was three and a half, four hours long. Oh my God. What the fuck? It was unreal. They had all these groups come in that were where they were casting spells on them, like youth groups and things, and indoctrinating them into this some society. I don't remember. I just remember glaring over at my friend repeatedly after like an hour of this shit. And he was just like, I didn't, you know, there was some decent music every once in a while. But overall, I lost I felt like a quarter of my day on an Easter Sunday one day in Santa Monica to the Lord, and oh God, ponderous. So this guy here we go, back to him.
Is saying, well, what we're going to focus on, instead of the resurrection of Jesus, we're going to focus on transgender and that movement. It really is despicable and evil, and it does clarify a lot where they're coming from, because the Biden administration did not do any kind of proclamation, any kind of day for Easter. They did it for the transgender movement.
That is bullshit. The only thing I think Biden did for the transgender movement is issue a statement reaffirming Transgender Day of Visibility. I don't think there was an event, but there was an Easter event. And by the way, quote, Jill and I send our warmest wishes to Christians around the world celebrating Easter Sunday. Easter reminds us of the power of hope and the promise of Christ's resurrection. As we gather with loved ones, we remember Jesus' sacrifice. We pray for one another and cherish the blessing of the dawn of new possibilities. And with wars and conflict taking a toll on innocent lives around the world, we renew our commitment to work for peace, security, and dignity for all people. From our family to yours, happy Easter, and may God bless you. Statement from the President, Joe Biden, on Easter. The official statement on the 31st. So it was recognized. And this guy, unshockingly, because he's a Barton spawn, is just lying his face off about something that happened. This is their history guy. He's living it. This history, by the way, was 5 days ago, we know what happened. He can be fact checked on this, but they don't have to because they're confirmation bias. They're going to go to him. He's going to be like, oh, he's a genius. He knows what he's talking about. We also have this is another reaction to Transgender Day of Visibility on the Elijah List show hosted by the Bunsen Honeydew LARPer, Steve Schultz. The guest is, of course, the inimitable, the remarkable Kat Kerr, she of the pink-hued, multi-hued hair and crazy outfits. And she frequently walks around like Gandalf wielding some kind of prayer stick and praying over things and banging her stick on the ground. And she has some opinions on Transgender Visibility Day.
What he did was the person invited all the transvestites and all the other transgenders by their choice to come and entertain the children who were there to do the Easter egg hunt. They were the entertainment. That's what the bee person thought was important. So let me tell you what. And he said, while we were doing all of that, he interrupted them and said, I have to let you know, I'm so excited to see that you all are here. Well, he invited them. Of course they came. He said, I just wanted you to know that from this day forward, this day will not be known as Easter or the celebration of it. It will be known as the Transgender Visibility Day.
So Kat is suggesting that Biden invited all the transvestites and all the transgenders to entertain at that Easter party. And that not only that, but he is canceling Easter. And it is now going to only be known as Transgender Day of Visibility.
Of course they came. He said, I just wanted you to know that from this day forward, this day will not be known as Easter or the celebration of it. It will be known as the Transgender Visibility Day. From this day forward, forever.
I did not hear that. That's-
yeah, you didn't hear that because that didn't happen, Steve. That's why you didn't hear it. It's Kat must have had too much cotton candy in heaven while she was strolling on the John Wayne movie set she must have just be delusional to have hallucinated that scene. She invented a fucking scene that didn't happen.
This day forward, forever.
I did not hear that. That's such blasphemy.
He did, and it is blasphemy. What he did was the bee person.
Oh, there you go. So that's what he did was such blasphemy. Such blasphemy, says Steve Schultz. This is what people are dealing with. The bullshit and the lies. There's a piece over at Right Wing Watch that says religious right turns Holy Week into festival of lies, false persecution, and propaganda. So it's supposed to be their joyous time of the year, right? I mean, Friday is not a great day, but the Sunday is the greatest celebration and joy, right? According to Christians. But these people run around just stirring up for politics. They're stirring up religious fervor for pure political power. As they try to take over from the minority and shrinking minority, there is more polls showing that especially younger people are just having none of this bullshit with religion. They're sick of it, especially the anti-gay stuff, the anti-trans stuff. They all know kids that are out gay in school. They know kids that are trans or transitioning. And they don't give a shit for the most part. They don't care. There's videos of early on, even when they were still arguing over gay marriage and stuff like that, a few years ago, that some 3-year-old was met two women and they said they were married and or they were two mommies of his little friend. And he said, how come you have two mommies? And his mommy said, well, sometimes two mommies love each other and sometimes two daddies love each other and they get married and they have kids. The kid's 3, so they don't. She doesn't have to explain where the babies come from yet. But that's a perfectly reasonable, normal response. And to a kid, they filmed a bunch of parents talking to their kids about this. They're toddlers and slightly older. And to a kid, everyone was like, oh, okay. Okay. Which probably is why I don't care. Because growing up, I had my dad's brother was gay and had a partner I can't imagine what they went through in the like 50s and 60s and 70s and shit. But every holiday we had Uncle Ralph and Ken over and Ken was just like a member of the family. It was the partner, the friend, he said, you know, back then of my uncle. I remember being, I think it was like 12 or 13 when I finally said to my mom one day, I was like, are Ralph and Ken like Ralph and Ken? And she was like, yeah. How do you feel about that? Does that bother you? I was like, no, I don't give a shit. And my mom was like, she said she didn't give a shit. And she even said my dad, who, if you knew him, he was like a really gruff Archie Bunker-ish type. Some racism in there, but he didn't have a problem with his gay brother. He supposedly told my brother, my uncle, you're my brother, I love you, I don't care. So there you go. Some little seed of progressivism where my progressive beliefs came from. But now these religious loons are just lying and they're desperately now they're woozy with glee over having Roe versus Wade overturned. And they're gunning for same-sex marriage. They're basically saying it. Clarence Thomas said, we need to look at Obergefell and we need to look at, I forget the name of the case, Loving, versus Virginia, which he includes that in there. And he's a black man married to a white woman. Loving versus Virginia decriminalized and gave people the right to marry outside of your race. And Clarence Thomas goes to show where his allegiances lie, not with decency and to do what's right, but with fascism and religious lunacy. There's no reason. I don't know if they'll be able to do it. I think same-sex marriage is too ensconced now at this point. But people were saying that about Roe. So you never know. Get out and vote like crazy. I know there are some polls that are coming out, and they keep touting them and saying, oh, Trump's up 3, Trump's up 4. But there are other polls that are also very good that are showing Biden up also and increasing and in important areas and in important demos. I just think as people, as normal people, as civilians, not us politically savvy people who follow politics really closely and know what's going on every goddamn fucking minute, losing our minds over what's going on every fucking minute, but just the regular everyday Joes out there, everyday people who don't follow politics and kind of don't give a fuck. They just want to live their lives and not get fucked by the government. Once they start tuning in a little bit, those are hopefully a lot of independents and stuff. And they are not friends of Donald Trump. They're not friends of the Republicans, especially with the women's rights issues with abortion. It's just ridiculous that they're trying to set back the clock, you know, a couple hundred years on that. It says also conservatives, this is all them screaming about Easter. They manufactured outrage about Biden's supposed efforts to cancel, replace Easter. The happenstance that March 31st was Transgender Day of Visibility. We talked about that, but they're also upset about the rules for a White House egg decorating contest. Let me guess. What do you mean I can't paint the my kid can't paint the stars and bars on his egg? The eggs, conservatives were bitching about a flyer that was given out with the rules for the White House egg decorating contest for children of National Guard members. Which said the artwork must not include questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. Meanwhile, they're screaming about that, saying, oh, look, they're trying to keep out religion. But it's noted that and confirmed that these rules have been in effect for these rules for the goddamn White fucking House egg fucking decorating fucking contest have been around for 45 years. So it's just bullshit that all of a sudden they're portraying this as attacking religion by Biden. Meanwhile, Biden did send a statement I noted earlier. We've got Ben Johnson of the Family Research Council saying, late last week, the Biden administration prohibited children from expressing their Christian faith while redesignating Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility. Biden literally banished Christianity from a children's contest celebrating its most joyful holiday while exalting a radical and harmful ideology in its place. Exalting a radical and harmful ideology. Johnson then accused Biden of replacing Christianity with a new holiday celebrating transgender ideology, which is crap again. Nobody's replacing anything. There's room. There's room for all kinds of celebrations. You don't get that. Sean Focht or Fucht or Foicht, whatever the hell his name is. He's the musician. He made famous by his kind of ridiculous his ridiculous mop of hair and his he organizing outdoor concerts and Jesus praising events, whipping his finger around at the establishment during COVID because Christians needed to be, you can't stop the Christians from worshiping the Lord despite your fake virus. On Michael Brown, another lunatic, said Biden used his bully platform to mock Christians. He said he timed things so it would be celebrated this year on Resurrection Sunday, which is bullshit because, again, it's been March 31st since before 2010 when it was first celebrated. The Sean Fucht musician dude also said, Christians, this is your warning to completely separate yourselves from this demonic, blasphemous administration. They are evil. Another one said, just a reminder that there is zero justification for a Christian to ever vote Democrat. Matt Walsh, lunatic, we talked about him. He's really obsessed with transgender people. He declared Biden a demon. And Trump himself called the announcement
part of the administration's, quote, years-long assault on the Christian faith. It's just amazing that they're who are they going to go after next? I mean, I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Oh, it's allergy season, everyone. Duck season. So that's what we're going through here with these Christian liars using their big day to push the Christian nationalist agenda of wanting them to take over. And the terrifying Handmaid's Tale bullshit they're going to put us through to accomplish their means once they take over. Also in the news, there's a little stroll down Jesus Lane. We'll come back. Don't worry. Also, I've got a story here about, well, let's talk about this Eileen Cannon bullshit. So, Eileen Cannon, the, I'm putting quotes around it, judge down here in Florida, who was randomly assigned the Trump documents case, where he took out boxes and boxes of documents, some of them highly classified, and illegally not only kept them, but then refused, well, had them, then refused to return them, lied about having them first, then refused to return them. And then there was an FBI raid, you know, the rest. Then the cover-up trying to erase video footage, the whole thing. That the judge there, Eileen Cannon, had issued that crazy, crazy order saying that she wanted both sides to write up a jury instructions strategy. The prosecution, just its usual one, and the Jack Smith's people, and then Trump's lunatic, horrible lawyers would come up with jury instructions based on the Presidential Records Act, saying that the president can designate anything he wants personal, something like that is his argument, that they were designated personal, but just by taking them out, he has the power to instantly declassify and deem them personal. Which is a just patently 100% opposite direction of the actual law. There are actual words in the Presidential Records Act specifically preventing all of the above. But for some reason, Trump's lawyers are arguing that it says the opposite in their upside down world, which is really just, we all know, more attempts to delay what the fuck is going on. So Eileen Cannon somehow gave credence, outraged even conservative lawyers out there who were like, this is crazy that she gave any credence to that argument when you could read it yourself. You could read the sentences that say you may not retain, you may not take classified records. You may not just decide, wave a wand, declare things personal when they're not. That's what Nixon tried to do. And the reason that they drafted the law. Trump said at one point over the weekend, Nixon, they ended up paying him $18 million because they went after him wrongly. No. Well, they did, but that's why they wrote the law. They didn't think they would need the fucking law. Until Nixon came around and tried to say that the tapes were his private property and personal property. And eventually, they settled the case, I believe. The government settled the case for $18 million with Nixon's estate, because he was dead by the time. And I think it was $18 million. So that's what Trump is talking about. But in the meantime, while that litigation was going on, they said, well, we're going to have to draft this law and pass it to prevent this from ever happening again. and codify it. And that's what happened. So because Nixon predated that law, they decided to settle instead of continuing to litigate the whole thing of keeping the tapes and declaring them not his property. Trump also lied. I think he's telling a lie that his that he won in the civil court or in the appellate court on the one case in New York, which is a lie. He didn't win it outright. He didn't. He won some concessions on discovery, on like more time for discovery and how much discovery could be thrown at him and stuff like that. But it by no means stopped the procedure and told them that he lost the case or won the case or it was dismissed. He's trying to say the judge now is claiming that or this judge is illegitimate. He won't recognize that the appellate court dismissed everything, which is, it wouldn't happen. There would be no lower going back to the lower judge if everything was dismissed. But the morons are just gobbling it up. So back to Eileen Cannon. She made this ridiculous ruling that everyone was outraged about this both sides, you know, we may present, but people figured out, the smart people, the smart lawyery types, that it was really like a Trojan horse, because it gave her the opportunity to then present, she could decide somehow in the middle of the case, once the jury was sworn in and proceedings began, now the trial has officially started, that she could then decide to accept the defense's strategy that you have to look at the Presidential Records Act, which says a president can do this, by kind of default saying Trump is innocent. She would then dismiss the case and it's done. And the thing is, it can't be appealed from there, because once it started with the jury, it's double jeopardy. So they would, we, the people, Jack Smith, the prosecutors, the country decency would be fucked. She could pull this bullshit, dismiss it once the jury is seated on that basis. And no longer could he, nobody could appeal it. No longer could he be tried for it. That's some bullshit. So Jack Smith knew this. Jack Smith issued a scathing and unprecedented and brutal statement to the court saying, you better think about this. Saying, basically, we know what you could do. Like, you know, with this, you could therefore decide to accept this, declare it, and then prevent, you know, double jeopardy. It's like, he's basically saying, we know, we see you, we know what bullshit you're doing. And if you don't recognize that the argument about the Presidential Records Act, which, by the way, none of the charges are using the Presidential Records Act. The charges are like obstruction and espionage. So it's kind of moot even then, because the Presidential Records Act, it doesn't matter in this case. No, there hasn't been any charges based on that. She also, Jack Smith issued this letter saying, I'm going to go to the 11th Circuit and I'm going to have your ass recused, basically. And most legal experts that I've seen on the telly think that aren't Trump sucking have said that they think it would probably work at this point, because the 11th Circuit has already twice overruled some of her crazy bullshit. And one time rebuking her and basically saying, this is crazy bullshit. And both of those rulings were remarkably slavenly in favor of Donald J. Trump. So those mistakes, how amazing. Same thing with this one. So, what appears to have been a good motion, she came back now. She got Jack Smith's statement and now she's issued a motion a little wee two-page motion denying Trump's motion to dismiss the case based on the Presidential Records Act, which if she didn't kind of say that, then Jack Smith could have and would have instantly had her recused, because everyone can read literally that it says just the opposite in the law. So that's kind of, even for her, it's the only thing she could do. But then she still has left room for this ridiculous, these two jury instructions. She also denied Smith's request to rule on the jury instructions. The reason he wanted to do so is because earlier she floated the notion of using a fringe legal view based on the Presidential Records Act in those instructions. Her ruling against Trump based on that act, which is a civil law, which has no relevance to these criminal charges, could signal that she won't inject it into any wacky jury instructions, but she did leave the possibility open for another day. Smith said he wanted her to clarify her position on the instructions so that he could appeal her before trial if she adhered to that fringe view. So he's like, I'm going to let you clarify. In other words, I'm going to let you backtrack on this. But you better clarify it before the trial starts, because then he couldn't appeal her at that point. But she called his request to rule on the Presidential Records Act bullshit, quote, unprecedented and unjust, saying it's way too early. It's so weird. She ended her order by basically saying, go ahead, go over my head. Quote, as always, any party remains free to avail itself of whatever appellate options it sees fit to invoke as permitted by law. But without any ruling on these jury instructions, we don't know what Jack Smith is going to do. And a lot of the granted left-leaning or less Trump-leaning, non-Trump-leaning, let's say, even some conservative legal experts are saying they think that Jack might pull the trigger and he may try to get her recused, which is huge. And he would only do if he knew that he absolutely had the goods, because if it didn't work, he would be accused of doing it just for political purposes. And then, you know, the judge is going to give Jack Smith a fair trial. I mean, the people versus Trump, the people are going to get a fair shake, in addition to Trump getting a fair shake, with the judge facing a team that has tried to get her recused from the case. So Jack Smith will have to have a full, and robust and ironclad, reason and list of reasons to take to the 11th Circuit to get her ass dragged out of there. One reason being this fear of double jeopardy. She could actually just throw the entire case out, never for it to be seen again. And then she would get her Supreme Court seat in a Donald Trump administration. So now we're waiting to hear what Jack's response to her response to his response to her response, blah, 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 is. Keep your eyes peeled. Eileen Cannon, Trump employee, basically. And how she ever got, she should have recused from the beginning. I mean, she was just recently, she was in the flurry of post-election appointments that Trump did. And the Republicans rammed through in the Senate. She wasn't one of these. I don't think she was one of these that was rated not qualified, but she hasn't done much and nothing spectacular. She was just like 39 and a Trumpy. So a pointer for life. And there you've got 50, 60 years, possibly 40, 50 years of Trumpism ensconced in a federal lifetime judgeship. But God, I would hope that if this really goes down, that we need to take the House and the Senate and impeach her ass and get her out of there. If this is that blatantly, especially if she tosses it, accepting this flawed legal opinion that somehow the Presidential Records Act applies here, which is again a civil matter. It's civil penalties and things like that. It's not criminal. These people are unbelievable. But they're delaying and delaying and delaying and delaying, which is the main goal. So stay tuned for the Eileen Cannon saga to continue. Now, in the hush money case, I touched on that earlier here. This is Judge Mershon. This is the judge that's been recently issuing gag orders to Trump because Trump is going after his daughter, who has done work for some Democrat or something in the past before. So obviously the judge needs to be recused and thrown off the case because someone in his life has worked for a Democrat. Judge Mershon, has refused to delay the trial any longer. So this one, it's looking like we might see Donald Trump actually go down and start an actual trial. This is the hush money case. This is the Stormy Daniels McDougal case. The judge overseeing his case refused to delay the trial any longer, despite a plea to wait until the Supreme Court has ruled on a claim of absolute presidential immunity. So Trump is trying to say now, hey, look, the Supreme Court is waiting till the 25th. They're going to hear my case. And then we may not hear till June what their response is to Trump's claim of absolute immunity, which had better be nothing, but this is all bullshit. Presidents are not immune. And especially since this happened before, he was immune. This is for his first campaign. He wasn't president when he paid hush money to Stormy Daniels and Linda McDougal. Judge rejected Trump's final attempt to push the case beyond April 15th. So we got 10 days now. This trial may actually start when the jury selection is set to begin. The judge called Trump's request inadequate and not convincing. Quote, the court finds that defendant had myriad opportunities to raise the claim of presidential immunity well before March 7, 2024. Yeah, in fact, Trump in other cases, I heard someone else was saying on telly, a year ago, Trump's other cases, some of them were bringing up presidential immunity. But because this happened before the presidential immunity, he was president, they hadn't claimed it on this. And then all of a sudden, March 7th, with like a month and change to go before starting trial, he decides to chuck a Hail Mary and a wrench into the proceedings, try to slow everything down and say, no, you have to wait until the Supreme Court decides on my immunity for this case too. So the judge is like, it's bullshit. The judge quote in the judge's order, the circumstances viewed as a whole test this court's credulity. In other words, this is bullshit. The trial was initially set to begin March 25th, but Mershon pushed the start date to April 15th after prosecutors handed over a new batch of documents. The hush money allegations stem from before Trump's presidency, but his attorneys appointed to prosecutors' plans to use his public statements and social media history from his time in the White House during the trial. So they're saying that he's got to have immunity because somehow the Trump provided evidence after the fact, and that evidence he provided was while he was president. Jesus. The Hashemi case could be the first of Trump's four indictments to go to trial. If so, it'll be the first time that a former president is prosecuted. The allegations center on payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels in the final days of the 2016 presidential election to quash her claims of an extramarital affair. Trump has been charged with 34 felony counts linked to claims he falsified business records to hide the hush money payments. He has pleaded not guilty and sought to see the case dismissed. His attorneys have also asked the judge to recuse himself twice for no reason other than the judge doesn't kiss Trump's ass and won't dismiss it outright. So, well, you're obviously biased. You have to be recused. Trump has largely been successful in his efforts to see the indictments against him held up until the end of the year. Beyond the presidential election, the Supreme Court paused his 2020 election interference trial in D.C. until it makes a decision on his claims of immunity, and the case into his handling of classified documents has yet to receive a trial date. As that asshole judge that we mentioned earlier, Eileen Cannon, entertains Trump's broad claims over his ability to keep such material. This is the thing, and the same thing the SCOTUS is fucking doing. Delay. The conservative court does not want Donald Trump to go to trial before the election. It seems obvious. Faithless Friday, you all, this is the, here is, we haven't heard from Nick Fuentes in a while. Here you go on a Friday, the mellifluous tones of Christo-fascist, anti-Semite, anti-LGBT, racist, et cetera, et cetera. Nick Fuentes, the head of America First PAC.
If you really believe in Christianity, we have a different religion than these people, than the rest of these people in this country. We have a different religion than these Jews. We have a different religion than these liberals.
So this is the no true Christian fallacy, the no true Scotsman fallacy, actually. But the no true Christian, where they basically say, well, you know, those Catholics and those Protestants that don't hate gay people and want to kill them and that don't want to turn this into a Christo-fascist hellscape of a kingdom autocracy with Donald Trump at the head of the melded church of Jesus and United States government, then obviously you're not a real Christian.
What is your true religion? Because, of course, we believe that these things like transgenderism and homosexuality and feminism and usury and liberalism itself, these things...
Usury? Good God, he was whipping out the usury word. Usury, if I recall, is loan sharking, right? The charging, let me look this up. I'm pretty sure it's like lending money at the illegal action or practice of lending money at unreasonably high rates of interest. So yeah, loan sharking. Usury. What the fuck?
Feminism and usury. And liberalism itself, these things are sinful. These things are wrong. Democracy is wrong. Feminism is wrong. Oh, boy. Contraceptives are wrong.
Oh, boy.
If you want to be right with God, you must oppose all this stuff. You know,
I can't, you know, I was raised Catholic way back when, and it was, by even standards today, pretty liberal, no abortion, obviously. But then the thing that still surprises me is the no contraception thing. That I think, wasn't that blamed for like the spread of AIDS in South America and Africa because the prohibition on men wearing condoms and helped spread AIDS among the straight community in those places simply because they don't think they can wear a little rubber thing on the end of their John Thomas's because the Pope says so or God said so.
If you want to be right with God, you must oppose all this stuff. You know what isn't said to be wrong? Anti-Semitism, denying the Holocaust, being racist, being, you know, whatever, being a sexist. If you
did he miss that whole love thy neighbor part and golden rule and all that stuff that guy Jesus, the character in that book, you know, the important part that you're squealing about Sunday? Him coming back that was turned into Transgender Day. Didn't he say love, turn your other cheek, love everyone, love your enemy, all that kind of stuff? It's kind of the opposite of what little Nikki Fuentes here is saying. But you can't point that out to him. They're too fervent. They're too thrilled about the chance to have some violence and some smiting going on of their enemies. This, you'll understand, I mean, you'll recognize, excuse me, the mellifluous and beautiful dulcet tones of this Christian hate preacher who shocked us the last time. This is Shane Vaughn from Mississippi, who's been, you know, the usual kind of crazy lunatic, but he went, like, completely batshit racist the last time. Talking about Ketanji Brown Jackson, talking about the how she turned the Supreme Court into a jungle and her like her big lips and things like that. It was horrific, horrific, blatant, vile, disgusting racism from this asshole. This time here he is now, but he's total Trumpy. He's one of these who believes that the Lord sent Trump, and yes, he's flawed. He's like Elijah or who the fuck ever, whatever character they could think of that's flawed, but championed for the Lord. They think that Trump is some kind of a prophet or a warrior raised up to destroy liberalism for them. Here is Shane Vaughn. Looks like he's in his car and, he must be doing well with the Jesus business because he has a Cadillac. It's got a Cadillac symbol on his seatbelt.
Listen, I'm not dumb. I don't know what happened with him and Stormy Daniels.
No, we do know what happened with him and Stormy Daniels. Stormy's told us what happened.
I don't know what happened with him and Stormy Daniels. I don't know what happened with him and E. Jean Carroll. He may be guilty of it all. And yes, call me a cult member. I don't care. Why? No more than I would have cared what David did with Bathsheba.
There you go.
If I saw that he was winning the war.
There you go. Transactional. What did I don't even know what David did to Bathsheba. I'm sure I could look this up. The King David and the beautiful Bathsheba's adulterous love risks David his throne. So David was cheating on Oh, and it sounds like he might have raped her, too. Oh, boy, this is a Christian apologist site. Using the common understanding of rape to mean one person violently forcing himself on another, this interpretation is not supported by the Bible. The claim that it was that she seduced him, which is implausible. This says the sex was consensual. The text does not say she ever expressed interest, blah, blah, blah. This is probably, they say, what the real one is. The theory suggests that Bathsheba did not say no, but neither did she say yes. In other words, she was not truly willing to sleep with him, but he was the king. Those favoring this viewpoint point out that David sends lackeys to collect Bathsheba and bring her to his home, where they have sex the same night. Without question, there is a tremendous imbalance of power between David and Bathsheba. As with the prior scenario, it's possible that Bathsheba felt pressure, even fear, and submitted to sex rather than actively sought it. Blah, blah, blah. So this is, they're saying, well, we don't know. It's kind of vague. I love how they, when they're trying to explain something away, it's very vague and we're not sure, but when it's something they don't like, it's, oh, this is laser focused. We know exactly what this, this Bible verse means. So that's Shane Vaughn, I mean, driving around in his Cadillac. It looks like it's an SUV, so probably an Escalade. And he must be doing okay. His little church down in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is where he's hanging out these days. Also in the news, look at time flying. Also in the news this Friday, we do this Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern. Thanks for buying shit through the Amazon link at crabdiving.com/Amazon. Get a little commission every time you do that. It really helps out here to keep the lights on and the motors running. Trump, meanwhile, is not having a really great time with Truth Social. The stock, let me check it right now. The stock has been a plummeting since its IPO. I saw there was a, I think it was on CNBC or something. Barry Diller was on Gazillionaire. And Barry Diller said that it's a big scam, and he called, they said, he said, what do you have to say about DJT? The host asked him, and he said, one word, GameStop. Or two words, it might be two words, GameStop. He said two words, in fact. He said two words, GameStop, meaning it's a meme, it's a fraud, it's idiots and fanboys intentionally pump and dump, driving up the price of a stock. You get dummies to buy it, and then you sell it at the higher price. And rinse and repeat. Look at Tesla. Is another one like that. By most analysts' opinions, vastly overvalued from the day of its IPO, yet the Elon dick riders, just for some reason, they keep buying, the stock, no matter what it says about revenues or what kind of bullshit it goes through. And the same is going on now with DJT, vastly overvalued when it opened. And especially just a few, it's interesting how the news came out a few days after the IPO that last year it had like no revenue, and that it's just not doing well. This is not like I forget, it was valued at $11 billion or something. It has since lost much of that value, billions in value, as the stocks have plummeted from the day of the IPO. I think it spiked up around $70, something around there, $70, $71. And now as of today, which is like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, it is $40 and dropping. The trajectory has been, with one little hiccup where it bounced up a couple of dollars over a couple of days, then it started dumping again. And it is not going well for the stock. And he is apparently pissed off about it. Newsweek had a story, Donald Trump rages as Truth Social value plummets. Donald Trump has issued a fierce defense of his social media platform, Truth Social, after its value plummeted this week as new revelations emerged about mounting losses. So it's a scam. Wow, what a shock. You mean to say that Trump is involved in a scam? And Barry Diller even goes on, it's an uncomfortable, you can tell it's an uncomfortable moment for the CNBC host who's trying to be very diplomatic about, you know, Trump and everything. And Barry Diller is like, well, it's a scam. It's a scam. His whole life, everything he's ever done has been a scam. Why should it be any different now? And then there's a silence and the host is like, okay, well, moving on. Even on its first day, it tumbled 21% on the second day after its IPO. That was at $48. And today it's lost more than 20% of that to be down now at hanging around $40 a share. And that's still, by all marks, by all measures, that is still overvalued, crazily overvalued. While we're here, let's look at Tesla. What the fuck? Tesla not doing well at all. Tesla back in December was trading in the 250s a share. And as of now, 4 months later, is down to a couple days ago, it got down to the 160s. So from 260, let's say, down to 160 is not a good look in a few months for Tesla. But you still have people, I've said it, you go on X anytime Tesla is dumping, and you're going to find the idiots who are saying, I don't care how low the stock goes. That just means it's cheaper for me to buy. Tesla's going to go to 1,000 a share. You just wait. And then when adults bat them around like cats do with flies, and they say, oh, really? What do the financials look like? What about all these recalls they're having? What about these problems they're having in Europe with alleged union busting or trying to fleece workers? What about lying about the amount of battery time they had, false advertising and listing the battery time as having a lot more than it actually really did, and owning up to the fact that they lied about it? But you can't reason with them. You can't reason with the fanboys of Mr. Musk and Trump at the same time. They're both kind of the same. Also in the news, we've got this Faithless Friday. I guess some good news. This is Montana. A couple of surprising, decent things in Montana. The Montana Supreme Court struck down four laws that the state's Republican-led legislature passed in 2021 to restrict voting. You know, the Republicans are trying to enact, make it harder for people to vote because they realize the more people to vote, the less likely they are to win. The Montana Supreme Court declared these laws in Montana unconstitutional. They sided with a district court judge ruling against them 2022. The summary of the majority opinion said, quote, the laws violate the fundamental right to vote provided to all citizens by the Montana Constitution. The laws ended same day voter registration in most cases. They hate that. They eliminated student ID cards as a permitted form of voter ID. They really hate that. They want to get rid of students voting everywhere. Because why? Because young people don't vote for Republicans. So they want to make it as hard as possible. They don't want students to be able to vote where they are living in dorms in out-of-state places either. They want them to have to go home or to have to vote by mail, but they're trying to get rid of vote by mail. They don't want these the young people to vote at all. Also, they were I guess they were sending ballots to people that registered 6 months if they were going to be 18 by election day. So if you came in and you said, I want to register to vote, I'm going to be 18 on the day of the election, then they'll say, okay, cool, here's your registration. And they would give you a ballot or send you a ballot. These laws, they tried to stop that, giving them a ballot. The Montana Democratic Party executive director said the decision is a tremendous victory for democracy, native voters, and young people across the state of Montana. The Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson, Republican, is upsetty pants about it. She criticized the Supreme Court decision. The secretary is, this is a statement, the office statement. The secretary is devastated by this decision. Oh, she's devastated. Oh my God, you're going to let those college kids vote. Oh, I'm devastated. But assures Montanans that her commitment to election integrity will not waver by this narrow adoption of judicial activism. Montana Supreme Court. You think it's liberal? But no, judicial activism. She said, this is certain to fall on the wrong side of history. State and county election officials have been punched in the gut. Oh, that's just too bad. The Montana State Legislature passed all four laws in 2021 as the Republicans pursued tighter election rules after Trump lost. The Native American community said some of the laws especially went after them. The Supreme Court opinion said the law targeting ballot collection services takes away the only option to vote for a significant number of Native Americans living on reservations. So they got rid of that. Victory in a lawsuit is not just about winning in the courtroom, but about upholding justice and defending the truth and restoring balance, said Ronnie Joe Horse, executive director of Western Native Voice, one of the plaintiffs. The chief justice wrote the opinion released on Wednesday, was joined by three other justices, four out of the seven. The Supreme Court justices in Montana are elected on a nonpartisan, wink-wink, basis. Montana is a key political battleground in 2024. While it's not expected to be competitive in the presidential race, Senator John Tester is a top target of national Republicans as they seek to flip control of the U.S. Senate. But they seem to like Tester in Montana, even and have elected him. So a couple of times, I think. And they think that this ruling especially will help him get reelected. And that's one of the reasons that the Republicans are devastated. The Secretary of State of Montana is devastated. Oh my God, people are going to be able to vote. Of course they're devastated. That means they're likely to lose. Also, so that's the Montana story there. I've got this story. This is, you want to hear one more loony screaming about Transgender Day being Easter?
If there's one area that the left was correct in all of this, it was in their statement that it was inevitable that eventually one of these days was going to fall on Easter, seeing that they have March 31st. But what probably the vast majority of people do not know, at least from my understanding, counting this, there's like more than 100 different days now that are annually devoted to LGBTQ plus causes. So again, what do you make of that?
I think we need to realize what's happening here. Those who are driving the moral revolution realize that holidays, days that we set aside for recognition, they matter. They begin to catechize a people. They begin to inculcate what is right and what is wrong into a people. And so the left, they realize, I think, what they're doing, trying to really colonize the calendar instead of...
Colonize the calendar. I don't know what these 100 different days are of LGBTQ plus recognition. I really want to see what 100 they come up with, because there's no actual I'm sorry, I got distracted here for a second. Something flashing over outside the window. How strange. Maybe someone's got a mirror and they're signaling me that the Trumpists are coming. We got some time left here. Look at this, about 20 or so minutes left. Time has been flying. Thanks for listening. This may be one of my favorite stories today, and another one where no one is shocked. CNN has a report that says Boebert continues stoking controversy amid intense battle to keep her job. She is desperate to try to win the election in this new state or district that she's carpetbagged over to, because it was looking like things were not going well for her in her own district. It was looking like the Democrat was actually going to beat her. And she decided to move, just coincidentally, over into a district that is significantly more solidly red, where she would have a better chance of winning, despite her antics, her craziness, and the whole, you know, vaping hand job thing at the Beetlejuice show. So now the story is that I guess she was at some event, some Trump event in New York, and she got like shit face drunk. And it says her behavior once again raised eyebrows. Sorry, having a beverage. I usually take sips while Ryan's talking, but this time you're just going to have to listen to me drink. At the, it was December event. Why are we just finding out about this now? It was the New York Young Republican Club's annual gala. Wow, that must be fun. Multiple witnesses saw a server tell Boebert that she was cut off. She would not be bringing any more alcohol. Throughout the night, Boebert kept attempting to snap selfies with Trump, who was sitting at the same table as her, so she got to sit at the kids' table. Eventually, according to CNN, Trump's security detail had to step in and tell Boebert to knock it off with the trying to sneak over and get selfies with Trump. It says Trump still gave Boebert his full endorsement last month. The Boebert's allies say it's proof that he clearly wasn't bothered by the incident. They also say her boisterous and loud personality can sometimes be misconstrued. Misconstrued. Oh, you're just misconstruing her. She says she's trying to lean on her record in the election as a conservative congresswoman, including getting the Pueblo Jobs Act signed into law, a bill she said will create 1,000 new jobs in the area. She also has been participating in dozens of forums in the district. Boebert, who has a lot of money though, she's already up with her first TV ad touting Trump's endorsement. But they say it's a tricky balancing act as she tries to tone down her public image. Her public image. She tries to tone down people seeing her for her. Trash. And she's trying to prove she's a serious legislator. Without Bragg backing down from her identity as a flame-throwing MAGA warrior. We can't have both. Because MAGA warriors are, by definition, dumb and insane. She said, every day is hard. I'm not afraid of a challenge, though. I mean, I think that was always caused me to stand out because there's always something coming on me, coming against me, excuse me, always something in my way. And when times get tough, I get tougher. I show that we can persevere and push through. I got my boys. I got my faith. We won't, I don't want to throw too much at the kid, but take a look at the charges against her one boy. She I didn't know this. Well, thoughts and prayers to her. She recently had emergency surgery for a blood clot in her leg. I didn't know that. And has been diagnosed with May-Thurner syndrome. I don't know what that is. Let's look that up. It's a rare vascular condition that affects a vein in your pelvis. It occurs when a nearby artery compresses the left iliac vein. This vein brings blood from your pelvis and legs back up to your heart. The compression prevents blood from flowing properly, leading to narrowing and scarring. Well, there you go. Interesting. Hope she's well. Hope she can get back into full shape. So she decided to move to this new fourth district where Ken Buck, who is now been excommunicated by the Republicans, basically, because he has the audacity to say that, maybe Trump committed some crimes and is against all of this crazy bullshit in the House of holding the country hostage every 5 minutes, every time they can, and trying to extort these huge, massive concessions when they have only a handful of votes. He also, has voted with the Democrats, but he decided he was going to retire. And then he up and decided he was leaving like right now. So they're having a special election in that district. By resigning early, it really kind of fucked her more. She said her decision to relocate was based on personal reasons. She wanted a fresh start following the messy and public divorce, not politically motivated at all, even though she knew that Ken Buck was leaving. Ken Buck threw a wrench in her plans last month when he decided to resign early, teeing up a special election to fill the remainder of his term. The election's on June 25th, the same day as the Republican primary for the general election. So if she decided to run for the vacant seat, she would have to give up her current one, which would have also shrunk the House's already two or three vote majority by one more. She would have to give up and then try to win the special election. But if the vacancy committee, which is made up of a panel of Colorado Republicans, had selected one of her primary competitors to fill the seat, it would have given that person a major edge in the primary. If they're already in there and haven't shit the bed, I guess, in the few months up to the election, they would have an advantage. Boebert ultimately decided not to run for the vacancy, so she's not taking part in the special election. Last week she did kind of get some luck because they selected a placeholder candidate, Greg Lopez, who will not be running in the fall. So this got her a boost because she thinks she has a better chance. But there's still a big primary, and she wasn't doing real well last I saw in the polls. Although they think there may be too many that it might actually help Boebert, there's a bunch of them, but only a half a dozen serious contenders. How many do they have? A dozen candidates have jumped into the race, although not all of them may appear on the ballot in June. Only half a dozen are considered serious contenders. Sources close to Boebert believe a more crowded field of rivals may actually benefit Boebert by splitting the rest of the vote. So let's see. We may get Boebert back. It was looking, like there was some hope. Ken Buck might have fucked her, figuratively. And, she got a solid from that committee when they appointed a placeholder candidate that will not be running in the main election. So, and now Boebert's just screaming and yelling at Ken Buck at every chance she can get. He's a rhino. He's deserting, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're mad at him because leaving early hurts their majority, their tiny, tiny, wee little majority even more. Time left here on the big show is about 8 minutes. Thanks for listening, everybody. My throat's holding up okay. It seems to be, it's just getting a little sore right now, but after 2 hours of yapping straight, or an hour and 47. But I'm trying to hold up here. The this isn't me sounding all noble and everything. I'm just talking. Also in the news, what is a good story here? This is fucking batshit insane. And I can't imagine this will happen. But a group of lunatics in the House, which if they're Republicans, saying lunatics is redundant. A group of House Republicans led by a member of GOP leadership is introducing a bill to rename Washington Dulles International Airport after Trump. The two-page bill seeks to rename the airport the Donald J. Trump International Airport and require all government documents to refer to it as such. The airport's currently named for John Foster Dulles, former Secretary of State under Eisenhower, who fought against communism during the early stages of the Cold War. The proposal is already making Democrats laugh. If it even gets to a House vote on the floor. Representative Jerry Connolly, Democrat, who represents part of Dulles, said Donald Trump is facing 91 felony charges. If Republicans want to name something after him, I'd suggest they find a federal prison. Jamie Raskin, the awesome Jamie Raskin from Maryland, Democrat, said if they name it after Trump, there could be continued round-trip service to Moscow. Don Beyer, Virginia, Democrat, said that pointed to detentions that took place at Dulles after Trump implemented his infamous Muslim ban shortly after taking office. The measure, this ridiculous bill, was led by Representative Guy, I haven't heard of this person, Reschenthaler from Pennsylvania. He is the chief deputy whip. I've never heard of him. It's backed by half a dozen co-sponsors. Let's see who they are. Michael Waltz of Florida, Andy Ogles of Tennessee, Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee, Troy Nels of Texas, and Paul fucking Gosar of Arizona, the dental body language expert. Resenthaler said, as millions of domestic and international travelers fly through the airport, there is no better symbol of freedom, prosperity, and strength than hearing welcome to Trump International Airport as they land on American soil. Is this parody? Is this something from Saturday Night Live? This can't be real. Jesus Christ, these people. Troy Nels told Axios, I totally support the renaming of Dulles Airport to the greatest president in my lifetime, DJT. Gosar said, I could see no more fitting recognition than naming both airports in our nation's capital after our two best presidents, DCA after President Reagan, and Dulles after President Trump. The Democrat said, I remember Republicans like those who wrote this bill hiding and giving mealy-mouthed responses when asked about the suffering Trump's Muslim ban caused. They know Dulles will never be renamed after Trump. Again, that's not the point. The point is to suck up to the dear leader. Absolutely. Trump eats it up. I wonder if there's something on Truth of him saying, oh, thanks, guys. Trump International Airport, please. And is he going to have where's his library? Where's his library? In the bathroom at Mar-a-Lago? That would be fitting. I've got Alex Jones is trending for some reason. Alex Jones is has decided to endorse somebody in camp. What? Been following this guy for years, and he's the real deal. Canada desperately needs a lot more of leaders like him. So does the rest of the world. Oh, it must be some Nazi piece of shit. Pierre Poilievre will be our next prime minister. So I wonder if he's Quebecois. But I'm sure he's a right-wing nut job if Alex Jones is endorsing him. I'm sure we'll hear from some of our Canadian friends that let me know about this Pierre Poilievre, a member of Parliament for Carleton. He's the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, led by Pierre Poilievre pour la France. I think he's Quebecois. He's a right-wing dickbag. So of course, Alex Jones is supporting him. I'm sure he's thrilled. I'm sure Mr. Poilievre is absolutely thrilled. The people are suggesting that the Canadian renounce the endorsement of Alex Jones. That's not going to happen. He recently said this. Poilievre said, "We're going to end the woke culture, and we're going to bring back a warrior culture." So there you go. It's another. He's a little Trump, a little Trumplet springing forth up north. Hopefully the Canadians, not as stupid as we are down here, and won't settle for this shit. What else have I got here? Unlikely that the airport will be renamed to Dulles. To Trump Airport. I think that has to go through the Senate too, doesn't it? They have to pass a bill, so that's it'll never happen. Schumer won't even give it the time of day if it passes. And if it passes the House, what a sad indictment on our country that the Republicans would vote while this man is facing 90-something indictments. They would vote to name a fucking airport after him. These people are out of their goddamn fucking minds. It's almost time to go, everybody. I think I might bail. I've got like 4 minutes left and start the music. Back Monday. It might be just me again. It might be me with Ryan. I'm not sure what time he gets back to town, if he'll be up for doing the show. But definitely next Wednesday you'll hear both of us again. Thanks for listening. Thanks for buying shit through the Amazon link at crabdiving.com/Amazon. Use that link every time you go to buy shit at Amazon. We get a little commission. Doesn't cost you anything. Thanks for following us on social media. Follow Ryan at RatedRComedy on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X, and RatedRComedy.com. I am, I never tweet, but it's at Vile Experience on the Twitter. That's it. We'll be back on Monday. Somebody will be back on Monday. Have a great fucking Republican weekend, free weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.